If you didn't know this, and there is no order to rank them, the three most kind-hearted, nicest, good people that are involved in sports media.
Timmy.
Steve Kerr still counts because he was media.
All right.
Clark Kellogg. And the man right now on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line, Tim Kirkjian. And Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, our baseball insider, even when he says it's probably not going to keep going, even when he says your team probably can't keep doing this, you're like, okay, Tim's still a nice guy.
I mean, all of this together speaks directly to why we love this game is some of this doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
That's Tim Kirkjian on Burns and Gambo saying the Diamondbacks' April offense just doesn't make sense. You shouldn't hold on to this, keep going. And now we have Tim Kirkjian calling in. And Tim, we don't like this, but you seem to be dead on. Can you hit? Can you fix the Diamondbacks offense right now?
All right, let me explain. If I got 1,000 at bats in the major leagues, and this goes for you two guys also, I would not put a ball in play. I would not make contact in 1,000 plate appearances because the first plate appearance, Robbie Ray would buzz the tower. All three of us, even the big football player in the room, would be terrified at a baseball at 97 coming near their head. That would be the end of the 1,000 plate appearances. So when you ask me, can I hit, the answer is an emphatic no.
Okay. Oh, shoot.
Having said that,
who can?
Now that you got the disclaimer out of the way, Timmy, the Diamondbacks right now are, is this what you think they are for the rest of the season?
Well, I think they're a 500 team, and I don't think they're nearly good enough to beat the Dodgers in this division because the Dodgers are really good. Mm-hmm. Plus, with some really good potential wild card teams out there, I just can't see the Diamondbacks after moving the players they moved in the offseason making the playoffs. But if you can finish 500, you're continuing to build with something here. You're going in the right direction, at least. At least that's a start with things. But you've got to remember, over 162 games, the true colors always come out. And there's just no way the Diamondbacks, I believe, are going to be good enough to make the playoffs or win this division.
We're talking to Tim Kirkjian, baseball insider with ESPN. And Tim, I'm wondering, and you are a great baseball historian, and when you look at teams that are not Yankees, not Dodgers, not, you know, funneling money like crazy, and they have a contract like a Zach Greinke, is it best to keep a player like that because how many young pitchers can learn from him that the investment is still worth it, even if you are a 500 team? Or do you have to move a contract like that when you're a 500 team in order to someday, you know, be a championship contender?
Well, you don't have to do anything, but I think it's recommended if you're not going to make the playoffs and you have a guy making $35 million a year, and even though he's really good and can help everyone on that team with the way he plays the game, if you can get three guys in return for him who can really turn out to be something, then you really have to look at that. The problem is that everyone in baseball has so much information now that you're not going to trick anybody and get the three best prospects from the Braves because the Braves aren't going to do that. That's where we are now with all the information that we have and all these brilliant young GMs, and the Diamondbacks have one of them, that you're just not going to trick these guys anymore. And in baseball, you're never positive what you're picking up in a deal because baseball is still such a crapshoot on can this guy play or not? Is he going to turn out to be something or not? That's why you have to be careful when you trade Zach Greinke because you got three guys back in return. Are they going to be any good? We're never quite sure about that.
Timmy, could you go into more detail in regard to whether or not you think there's going to be a strong market for Zach Greinke?
Well, again, at that price, it's unlikely that there'll be a strong market for him because A, you got to give up a ton to get him, and B, you got to pay him a lot of money when you do get him. It's a lot easier and a lot more efficient to just sign a guy in free agency. But free agency isn't what it used to be. More and more players are signing extensions. And if you're looking at a guy who can turn a contender into a champion, and that's what Zach Greinke can do, then you have to look at it. And there will be a couple, three teams out there that have to take a strong look at Zach Greinke. But the asking price is and should be very, very high.
How long does it take to build a World Series contender in modern baseball? Do you have to tank like the Astros did, even though they didn't say they did? How do you get to be a team that's consistently a playoff team?
Well, it's really hard. And yet, being a big market team really helps. For instance, the Yankees rebuilt their team and stayed in contention basically every year for about a 10-year period. That was remarkable what the Yankees did. But they also had the safety net that if they did make a mistake, they could just go out and spend their way out of it, whereas Diamondbacks and so many other teams are not in that boat. And the time period is a moving target. Theo Epstein told everyone with the Cubs, this is going to take some time, and it took about 2 years longer for most people. Like, when is this going to happen? And don't forget how terrible the Astros were,
yes,
almost historically bad. It took them 5 years and three historically terrible seasons. That's what you have to put up with, and some teams and some franchises just aren't willing to do that, and frankly, I don't blame them.
Hmm. And Timmy, what do you think of Carter Stewart? Carter Stewart, of course, the kid that is skipping the draft and going to go play in Japan right now. Is this something that could change baseball?
Well, it could. I just don't know how many kids would want to go when they've grown up their whole lives wanting to play in the major leagues, that they don't play in the major leagues first. And even though Japanese baseball is an incredibly high brand of baseball, and there's so much to be gained by going over there, and the money can be so good right off the top, I don't think this is going to do a drastic change in the draft. And people are just going to say, well, why go over there and make money, when most of the kids who get drafted say, I want to make money pitching for the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Diamondbacks. I want to play in the big leagues, not in Japan.
We're talking to Tim Kirkchin, Baseball Insider, ESPN. We're an ESPN radio station, and you can see him on television quite a bit. Timmy, I'm wondering, what do you think? And this is more of a philosophical question. Kevin Crone's getting called up for the San Francisco Giants series for the Diamondbacks, minor league home run leader. And yet, when I say philosophically, it's weird. The 2018 Diamondbacks of May were terrible. But it was, hey, we'll be fine. Just, you know, we're not going to make changes. Or, you know, the famous phrase, we're not going to hit the panic button. Now they're having another terrible May, but not as bad, and they're willing to go down, grab somebody who actually plays the same position as another young player, as you know, a young player as in 28-year-old Christian Walker, which is a little older for being young, but this is still his first year without Paul Goldschmidt here. It's a different philosophy. Why do teams change, and is it a sign that they thought they were wrong last year for doing nothing?
Well, potentially, yes, but I think the big difference is they had Paul Goldschmidt on the team last year, and they figured, well, he's going to get hot, which, of course, he did and carried them for quite some time, but they don't have him anymore. So now they look around and say, can Christian Walker do what Paul Goldschmidt did when he got hot last year? The answer has to be no to that, given who Paul Goldschmidt is. So given the way they changed the club in the offseason, it doesn't surprise me that May comes around this year, they're not hitting again, and they have to go try something. And this is how it works in the big leagues. You win when you hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I'm not really in favor of trying to win that way all the time, but if that's the philosophy and you have a guy in the minor leagues who's doing that, you might as well give him a shot.
Boy, Goldie's really been struggling with the St. Louis Cardinals here. Are you hearing anything about that at all as to whether how happy they are about signing Paul Goldschmidt?
Well, I think he's going to come out of it because he's a great hitter, and he cares and he tries, and that's all we can ask for. There's simply no way he's lost any skills here, and I think when he comes out, he's going to take them right back into contention. So I don't think there's a concern there. But again, it just speaks to what I talk about all the time. This game is so hard to play. It takes really good hitters like Paul Goldschmidt and turns them into bad hitters. It happens all the time. But in the end, those good hitters become good hitters again. It's going to happen in St. Louis. I thought it would be better than this, in part because He didn't have to be the face of the franchise there. He didn't have people coming to him after every game wanting him to tell everybody what's going on. I don't think he was ever comfortable with that. I thought he'd be more comfortable in St. Louis and therefore hit more. And at least so far, that hasn't quite happened.
If you if you've never done it, search the hashtag best of all Tim, not best of all time. A great series of tweets that Tim Kirkchin sends out, and it's a great way to get closer to the game. Good to talk to you, Tim. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Timmy.
Okay, fellas, see ya.
There's Tim Kirkchin, ESPN Baseball Insider, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti, the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, did Devin Booker get snubbed? And should he be upset about it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Great tweet this morning from Adam. Where's the lover boy at 7 o'clock? I wanted to flash the two.
See?
Take that, Bear.
There you have it right there, Masonians. You know you love it. Hour number one, hour number two, hour number three, hour number four on the Doug and Wolf Show. Flash the one, the two, the three, and the four. Don't just flash the four. Where have you been for hour number one, two, and three, ladies and gentlemen? Where have you been? Paul Calvisi.
For some reason, Bear is afraid of guests. He doesn't want to play Loverboy in front of a guest.
He doesn't want to do it right there. Right?
Like, you don't think Tim Kirkchin can flash the two?
Yeah, I don't know. Timmy probably, I'm sure he bust a move to Loverboy.
I want these people to come back on.
Okay, I see. That's the problem.
Wow.
You think they'll never come back on because they actually hear Loverboy and a cowbell bang? Bang that thing, by the way. You want a piece of my heart?
I'm actually afraid that you'll tell them all the story and backstory of the song, and then we'll never get to
right,
ask Tim Kirkchin about the Diamondbacks.
Chop, chop.
Yeah, that's
get to it.
That's Bear being trapped in meetings and not realizing
what is
needed. Remember, in case you did not know, Bear, what the great American philosopher Monty Williams said.
One of many things I've learned, Pop used a phrase at a camp, coaches retreat that we went to with him. You know, rules stifle talent. You know, the one thing coaches, at least for me, I have to be careful of anything in my program that stifles talent, stifles creativity, because the players that are in the league are creative.
Stifles talent. And
rules
creativity,
stifle
ladies
talent.
And gentlemen, honestly, we all understand this, right? I mean, you've got to have parameters. There's no doubt about that, right? You've got to have guidelines, ladies and gentlemen. There has to be some form of structure
yes.
put into place.
Like one comes up at 26.
But I'm telling you exactly right. And I'm telling you right now, Basinonians, everything else inside is wide open. You just let us look into the dark, shall we? Let us see the color black. The presence of all colors, not the absence of color, ladies and gentlemen, the presence of all colors in the color of black. Let us pull out of it something and make it. Everything that is in here, let us do that and do it creatively, right? Let us do that, Basinonians. Now, where are we going in this beautiful part of the program before we totally get derailed?
We are going to the fact that there are 100 people, 100. Who vote in the awards for all NBA teams.
I see.
You have a first team, a second team, and a third team. And this is a difficult discussion, full disclosure to me. And the reason why it's a difficult discussion is if I don't believe Devin Booker belongs in one of the top three teams, would I vote for him? And the answer is no. Yet I know how these things work. And I was shocked at seeing the fact that Devin Booker received two votes.
Oh, I had it as one. I'm sorry. I had
oh, no, you're, no, you are correct.
One vote.
You are correct. I misread it because it says 1-1 in the sheet I'm looking at, and I realize now
I mean,
it's cumulative.
Two is not much better, but it is double.
So he received one third-place vote and then got a total of 1 point in the standing, so I misread it. So one vote. So one person
That's
said he's a third-team player.
That's just scary.
Out of 100.
Out of 100.
Now, you could argue, here are the guards. Since Devin's a guard, I'll just tell you guards. Curry, Harden, first team.
Curry, Harden, okay.
Kyrie and Damian Lillard, second team.
Kyrie and Dame.
And Russell Westbrook and Kemba Walker, third team.
Well, that's it all.
So, you are saying, I'm putting Devin Booker over one of those groups. And I realize, now this is where I'll open up and feel free to attack me, people that pretend to know basketball. There's a style of which I look at people. I do not want Russell Westbrook or Kyrie Irving anywhere near my team.
I see.
I can respect the fact that they are unbelievable individual talents.
Incredible talents.
And if you are a type of person that says, I don't care about winning championships, I love individual talents.
You're framing this very well.
Go ahead and make a team of Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and Kyrie Irving and see how many titles you get.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll do great. Okay. Good luck to you.
Nice.
I don't play that game. I actually think winning matters.
Doug, don't play that.
And I can understand you don't care about winning if you disagree. But since I care about winning matters, I would have Devin Booker on this list because I know unless Kyrie or Russell Westbrook changes how they play, yes, they will never win a title. Now, you can say, well, wait, Kyrie's got one. No, LeBron has one, and Kyrie was along for the ride.
Okay.
There's all a little right, bit of a difference.
He did win a title, though.
Yes, I mean, he did.
Obviously did. All right, just to be factual.
But would you think Kyrie Irving is going to win a title as a point guard, being the leader on the team, playing his style?
I honestly don't.
I don't either.
That right there.
I'm not saying he can't change.
Culture matters. It's so important. It is so critical, and you're right. He can change. LeBron changed. LeBron himself changed. Realize this isn't just joking around anymore. This isn't just, you know what, it's great to be the greatest basketball player on the face of the planet. Isn't it great? I got all this talent out here. I just win. That's what we do. We win. And it became about something else with LeBron James. And I think he realized that. The Indiana Pacers series years ago, right? When he was playing for the Miami Heat, it was just a situation where they mocked him. They literally mocked him. And suddenly, he realized what is at stake. It's not just about going out and having a good time. It's not just going out and enjoying this incredible God-given talent that you have received, right? It's about going out and winning a champion and just being driven to win a championship. It became about something more. Might it happen to Kyrie Irving again? Yeah, there's a possibility it could happen to him again. There's no doubt about it. But how this whole thing, the fact that he got one vote, Devin Booker, for all NBA, I thought that was scary right there. From our own website, Basinonians, of the seasons where a player has averaged more than 25 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists per game, only twice out of 70 times has a player not made the All-Star game. And Booker counts as one of those two. Think about that. So it's really only happened one other time where somebody averaged those points, rebounds, and assists and did not make this All-NBA team.
Well, the reason,
that's crazy.
The reason why this is a big deal, and I can understand, because I come from the philosophy of, do you care about winning titles or winning awards? Okay, and I'm with a lot of you if you think this is bogus. Why should Devin Booker care about winning an award? Unfortunately, this is a huge deal. And if you don't understand the way a lot of contracts work,
this is incredible.
There are a lot of contracts that make you eligible for Supermax based on the voting within first, second, or third team All-NBA.
Yes.
So it can be a difference. For an example, let me point out to you Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker can now, because he was named third team over Devin Booker, could make a difference of $80 million. It's that big of a gap over the life of a contract.
I'm going to tell you right now, based on earnings, I was stunned when I heard this.
So since it's over $80 million,
now
the Hornets have to sit here and think, do I want to pay $80 million to this guy? And if they don't, now Kemba Walker's saying, oh, you don't think I'm worth it? You don't think I'm that good? And some players will take less somewhere else because they'll say it's about respect. Now that I know you didn't respect me to sign me to a Supermax, but the rest of the league respects me, I'll leave. It creates a lot of division, a lot of problems, and it's all based on media voting. Media voting!
Unbelievable. Just the fact that it is, it's made up of media. 100, as a matter of fact. A panel of 100. And our own Dave Pasch is on that panel. Next time we talk about this, we got to bring on David.
Okay.
Let's get Dave Pasch on.
Okay.
El Bajaro.
Cardinals draft, speaking of young draft picks, they drafted three wide receivers this year.
Oh.
Fair or not, one of them's already a Kyler favorite. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals players getting the weekend off. No OTA today. They start up again on Wednesday. And we have exclusive coverage here at Arizona Sports in which Bickley and Murata will be live from OTAs next week.
Doug, don't tell Wolf they're off. He wants to drive over there today anyway. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's not funny at all.
Sorry about that.
You know what? Especially after you hosed me.
No, I did not hose you.
Yeah, you totally hosed me, and you know you did.
Did not hose
you. How are you?
I mean, how many times did you apologize, Paul? How many times?
Well, I just, you know, peripherally, I felt bad.
I made the assumption that somebody works in the building, somebody walking around the facility, somebody hiding in the corners in the shadows, the cracks of the facility building, would understand when they were actually going to practice.
All right. So Paul told you they were practicing today or yesterday?
See, now we get the real story. He absolved me of any culpability whatsoever, but now we get down to the real feelings and the angst within, and he's holding me accountable.
Didn't think you'd actually bring it up live on the air, Paul.
I thought they were practicing.
I will do my best to bring content to this beautiful part of the program, but I'll full disclosure, I am distracted because about once a year, Paul wears a hat.
The fact that it's today is
distracting.
I mean, everybody wears a hat on this show, and the day I wear a hat, all of a sudden it's newsworthy. I mean, look at yourselves. Everyone's got a stinking hat
for
on.
For some
Bear,
reason,
Maloney, you guys.
I haven't figured out Maloney yet. For some reason, she wears a hat every Friday, but she doesn't wear a hat Monday through Thursday. And I don't know why. If you're a hat person, just wear a hat. If you're not, don't. But the fact that Maloney has a Friday hat tradition, I don't understand that.
Let the record reflect.
But you, it's just out of nowhere.
I'm not wearing a Tiger Woods hat like Maloney, so just let the record reflect that.
She's got a D-backs hat on. Come on.
Let me just say this, Basinonians. There's no way you could tell Paul was wearing a hat unless you could actually see the visor.
That's it.
There's no way you could tell.
That's it.
This is kind of an interesting. Not very often does retweet this actually start a major Cardinals conversation.
Hey. Retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
But fantasy guru Matt Berry tweeted out a picture of himself and Kyler Murray. That is not recent, but it then is added. It says, so Kyler Murray lit up when I mentioned Hakeem Butler. I went Hakeem Olajuwon there with Hakeem. Hakeem Butler.
Yeah.
I've never played with a wide receiver that size before. He told me, talking about how he knows he can throw it up and Butler will win the 50-50 balls. Also, they're roommates. And the number one fantasy guru who kind of created the fantasy media guy uses hashtag sleeper, hashtag fantasy football. The number one guy is calling Hakeem Butler a sleeper.
Wow, that's
I'm not ready for that.
Based on his conversation with Kyler Murray at that rookie card event or what have you. So tread lightly on that one. We haven't even seen the guy in a real mini camp yet. But if Kyler Murray, whose main go-to target was about his same height as him, Marquise Hollywood Brown, I'm guessing this is the biggest receiver he's probably had at his disposal in his short career,
When training camp starts, Basinonians, one of the first things I think I'm going to do, and I said this earlier, but I do believe this, and Pauly, of course, I know you'll go with me on this one, but I think we ought to follow the wide receivers, Paul. I think we ought to literally go with the very first day. Let's go with the wide receivers all the way through individual because of the three young guys that they have. There's no denying this. I want to see this, ladies and gentlemen. I want to see Hakeem Butler get off the press. Here's a guy, oh my goodness, if you were going to construct a human being to beat the press, it'd be Hakeem Butler. I want you to walk up with your 5'9 DB skills. I want you to walk up and try to put your hands on me and jam me at the line of scrimmage. You're talking about a guy. How long is his reach, Paul? I have no idea. Don't answer the question. You get me sidetracked. All I know is he's got a huge wingspan.
35 and a quarter inch arms.
There's no way you knew that offhand.
He is a big... No, well, you know...
It's a combine.
Google is
what do
fast.
I do?
No. Listen... He has a huge reach advantage. He's a big dude, and he runs a 4.48, ladies and gentlemen, at 6'5".
The reason why I do that is because I was laughing at the life of Paul and what it must be like to be Paul at his size. Because Paul...
What's going on here? I come in for the first time. You guys don't bring me in for the first 3 hours of the show, and then I just get ripped.
Paul, comb your hat.
It's the reason why I'm laughing is Paul said, and I don't question Paul's knowledge on this one. I'm just laughing at, hey, you're demented by your own size. Is that he said, hey, Kyler Murray's used to this type of receiver with Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
Marquise, I was thinking, wait, Marquise is small. Marquise, so I looked it up, and that's where I was, right where I was looking. He mentioned the arms. So I said, oh, look, there's his arms. Marquise Brown, 5'9", 166.
I see.
He's DeSean Jackson.
Butler is 6'5", 227.
6'5", yeah. 227 pounds. He's got a long reach. He's got a 37-inch vertical as well, I believe. 39, as a matter of fact. This is a guy that is beat. Is built, I should say, to
I was
beat
wondering
the press.
Okay, built that to
was,
beat the press. Okay.
I was, yeah, beat to beat the press, yeah,
that's,
right?
That's this karma.
Is, can
this
I ask
is a guy
crazy,
that is built to do that.
I want to ask a crazy question, though, about Hakeem Butler. And this is, I think
Where's
this is
coffee?
Important. I think this is an important point for receivers, but feel free to judge me as being unknowledgeable by asking this. Can Hakeem Butler catch the ball? I think that's going to be an important point in this conversation.
Supposedly okay. The 50-50 ball?
Yeah.
Is a good thing for him.
That's where he excels. When they're lobbing it down and throwing it up. Now, some of the short, tight spirals with velocity, he has been known to struggle with a little bit. So we'll see how much he fights the ball. I'm with you. We need to follow the receivers. Now, as soon as they hit training.
Think of how productive he was.
And let me tell you real quick. You know, let me try and actually inject some real content and save this segment for
really?
A minute. Because
seriously?
I had a chance in part of my conversation with Patrick Peterson, as I ignore all you guys. Patrick Peterson, when I was talking to him last week and I asked him about the rookie receivers, mm-hmm. and he looked at me and smiled and said, I'll get them ready. And he was talking about how he's going to miss the first six games, but he said, I will get them ready in August. And I ignore that as well. And here's the thing. Here's a little anecdote. I was talking to Kyle Odegaard about this the other day, and there was a moment early in training camp last year where Christian Kirk, he's coming off the line, and he had this little skip step he was found of. He would come off the line, I'd do this little skip step or whatever, and Patrick Peterson smiled. And he said, you're not going to be able to get away with that. Because a guy like me, and the next time he did it, boom, he jacked him as soon as he did that little skip step, and he little press man, right?
Yeah.
And he knocked him off stride. He said,
yeah.
Don't do that. Every single corner in this league will knock you off, and your route is hosed from the very beginning. So it's those little things that college receivers, they don't know what they don't know yet. And guys like Patrick Peterson will have to school them up. So, yes, we should follow those guys in training camp and see how quickly they can adapt. Because guess what? They're vital to this offense. If the rookie receivers, if at least two of the three rookie receivers don't come through and they're not dependable, Cardinals got issues on offense.
Brings up a different point, Paul. Why isn't Patrick Peterson at OG?
Seriously. Paulie.
I can't answer everything. I can't answer everything around here.
He's not going to be able to answer.
I can't answer everything around here.
Paul, you got to let me get a picture of you. Seriously. All right. You got to let me take a picture because right now.
Is this segment over?
Hey, Paul is a little selfie.
No, look at the hat, the glasses, and the headphones.
I'm hurting.
Like you're
I'm hurting this morning. I'm totally hurting.
You look like you're ready to. I mean, honestly, you look like you're a coach for Cal Berkeley standing on the sidelines right now.
No, he doesn't. I'm sorry, Wolf. I'll have to correct you. If you want to know what Paul looks like right now, Google, all the young crunks, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about.
Look.
Google a man named Michael Dukakis Tank.
Just
okay?
Stop it.
Google Michael Dukakis
Tank. I'm flatlining this morning.
I'm
you
taking
guys
a
are
picture.
Ripping me.
I'm going to take a picture, Basinonians. I'm going to tweet it out.
Lucky I even show up.
All right? And don't at me about it.
Coming up next, Wolf kind of sent out the bat signal this morning. He said, I don't want this Cardinals broadcast member.
Crunk.
I want the other one.
Crunk.
Devin Booker, one vote for third team. One measly point out of 100 people.
He was lucky to get that.
Pash is going to want this picture.
Dave Pash, a voter. Did you vote D-Book? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Castle.
It's been a fun show, but on the back burner, it's been one of those days, too.
What do you mean?
There's a link on our website of the Haboob blog, and the Haboob blog is Ja Morant seeing different things.
Ja?
Ja looks at an overhead projector and says, I've heard about it, I don't know what it is.
Twitchy.
He's shown a VCR, and when he looks at a VCR, he says, is that a DVD tape?
Glitchy.
What? And then The kicker is he sees a Walkman and he says, I don't know, some kind of tape deck thing. And so he sees all these things from the 90s since he was born in 99, yes. Has no idea what they are. And then we just talk to Maloney and Bear about who Michael Dukakis is and why the tank picture was important. And now Dave Pasch is just called in to the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Dave, is there as you are in this same realm of age, but now you're hanging out with, you know, 24-year-old NBA players all the time. What shocks you that they don't know about America?
I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I know is you guys are awfully whiny this morning.
What do you mean?
With the Devin Booker stuff, you guys are like, you know, whining.
Well, wait a minute, David.
In other words, you didn't vote for him either, did you?
Come on.
Oh, my goodness,
you
David.
You got to pick six guards. Six.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take that as a yes.
Klay Thompson got snubbed.
Yes.
That was the big. I did not have Kyrie Irving on any of my teams. So I agreed with you, Doug, on Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Not on Westbrook, but on Kyrie. I thought Klay really got snubbed. I think it's given how good of a two-way player he is, that was the big one.
Yes.
Don't think that, you know, we all look, these are important decisions for anybody that's on the panel that votes. These are all very important decisions. You guys were talking about that,
yeah,
especially with the money involving the All-NBA. So, I mean, I ask a lot of – before I submit, I ask a lot of people, hey, what do you think of this? You know, give me your thoughts. Who did you pick? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of discussion. So it's not like people are just randomly – pinning the tail on the donkey. That's why I thought you guys were a little whiny today.
Well, okay, David, that's great. You're whiny every day.
Look at you getting a little scornful.
It's Friday. He knows I'm joking with him. Listen.
You'd be serious on Tuesday.
You know what? You sent me your votes, David. Is it okay if I put this on the website? Is that okay if I post this?
I don't see why not. I mean, they're all going to be released next month or whenever all the I think I just sent you the All-NBA. I didn't send you the MVP or Coach of the Year or any of that, but that's fine. I mean, we've all talked about it.
Yeah, don't release the MVP if he
did. Why did you not put Kyrie on your team?
The biggest thing for me with him was when your team is better without you than they are with you, I have a hard time putting you in the top six guards. And again, you got to pick six. So I had Harden and Curry on the first team.
Yeah.
I had Lillard and Westbrook on the second team, Westbrook averaging a triple double. Mm-hmm. And to me, Russell Westbrook is a guy that is a good teammate. He wants to win. He plays hard. Does Russell have his issues? Yes. But he's still, to me, in the top six. And then I had Klay and Kemba Walker on the 13. Mm.
And I admit, I would have yours.
It's not just about Kyrie, but he does have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Why I didn't put him on there.
And of course, you can't. I do agree with you. It's just dumb to have a bracket or a ballot that doesn't have the name Klay Thompson on it, because you can tell people are saying, I don't care about defense, as if there's one whole side of the floor that doesn't exist. I actually agree Devin Booker doesn't belong above your six. So I know how hypocritical it is what I'm saying, but when you only get one third place vote, one third team vote, and that's it, it does seem like the tree in the forest that. Does anybody actually think the problems are the Suns are something that Devin Booker should be able to overcome? There's no way he can overcome it. So I do feel like he's off in a forest and nobody sees what he does.
Here is something that a lot of people are saying about Devin Booker. He gets injured a lot. Can he play through some of the injuries that he deals with? And that is going to be huge for the Suns going forward.
Mm-hmm.
He missed 18 games, I think it was, this year, more than that the year before. And I think a lot of people are waiting for him to play 75, 78 games.
That's fair. And I think a little of it is, you know, Devin, I don't think you're out of shape, but you keep having, you keep needing to hit the weights even harder and get even stronger. But I also believe once, if Ayton embraces what Ayton can be and a full season of Oubre, and there's other guys that can kind of take some of the contact, of course, if Devin Booker's driving the lane, he's going to get hit. But I think if the team develops, then Booker will get hit less. Am I making that up?
Yeah, no, and I've said this to Wolf and Paulie for years, and we're sitting on the Cardinal chat charters talking about the Suns. It was a desirable job, very desirable. I mean, Monty Williams, Stan Van Gundy, I mean, these are the names you're talking about that wanted the Suns job that I believe it came down to. And, you know, Monty could have had, you know, other jobs.
Yeah.
But people look at the Suns. And the players, the talent is not the issue. So if Robert Sarver does what he says he's going to do, there are going to be opportunities for Devin Booker to shine and for him to be in the spotlight. They're headed in the right direction if he just allows the people that he's hired to do their jobs.
I so David, agree with you.
Who picks the panel? Who picks the panel?
Meaning the 100 voters?
Of 100 voters. Who does that?
I think the league does.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure how it works. I think it has to be spread out. You know, you can't have, like, everybody at ESPN. There has to be, you know, certain people at ESPN, TNT, NBA TV, and then also local writers and stuff. So, yeah, I'm not sure how it all works.
But what's so strange about this, and I ask you this philosophically, should the media be determining who gets Supermax contracts? And that's not the media's fault. That's kind of the league.
But again, you got to think about, you know, who do you want voting? So if you have coaches vote or GMs vote or players vote, now you're going to have bias. I mean, you can't I love Terry Stotts. Mm-hmm. Love him. The Blazers coach. And I'm glad Terry got an extension. He and I were talking about this. We had that crazy 4 overtime game in the Denver series. And I was actually talking to him before the game. You know, I told him I put Damian on the second team, and he's saying, you know, his argument was he had a better year than Steph Curry, that he played in more games than Steph, and, like, he had a valid point, but he's also biased.
Yeah. Yes.
And, again, I love him, but Damian Lillard is his guy. And so who else is going to vote if it's not national media that really don't have ties to players or teams?
Yeah.
First of all, I think everyone has agendas. Everyone has bias. If you're a human being, I think you're influenced and you have bias. I think everyone does for the most part, but I think guys can stay objective throughout most of it, right?
And having 100 is
having,
a lot.
Having said that, David, the fact that you are going to have your votes published, that to me is accountability. I love the
Absolutely.
Fact they do that.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, when I was talking to Terry about that, with Lillard, he said, well, look, we're all going to know. We're all going to know who everybody picked. Look, I picked Harden to win MVP. And it was hard. It was a hard decision. And it came down, I think I may have told you guys this when I was on with you last time. It just came down to, I have never seen anybody do what he did this year.
Mm-hmm.
What Giannis has done, we've seen before. It doesn't mean that he didn't have a great year. Just picking between the two, I picked Harden. But remember, it's a regular season vote.
Right.
And that's the other thing. I think people are going to see who we all voted for, and they're going to say, well, what happened in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. But what happened in the playoffs doesn't matter. You're not picking it based on the playoffs. They're released after the finals are over, but people are going to look again through, you're talking about everybody having bias. People are going to say, well, how can you pick so-and-so based on what happened in the playoffs? But these picks were made well before the playoffs.
I'm so interested in the future of Harden because D'Antoni and Harden have got to change. You just can't sit there and do 1-4 flat the last 5 minutes of every playoff game and be shocked at the same results every year. Yet all you have to do to vote for James Harden is say this: Wilt Chamberlain. When you remember that stretch of games where it's him versus Wilt, you whenever you get compared to Wilt, you're the MVP, aren't you? I mean, that's it.
Doug, I'm with you. I'd never, and this again, you know, I ask a lot of people, hey, what do you think of this? You know, do you agree, disagree, pros, cons to picking a certain player? Because we want to get these right.
I mean,
there's a lot riding on
that. I totally feel that.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on Harden. It came down to I never seen, other than Wilt, right? Which, I wasn't alive for.
Yeah, we didn't see.
You know, it's just incredible.
David,
I'm with
what
you.
He did. Thank
Great
you so
talk.
Much for
Thanks.
Your time, man. Really appreciate your insight on this as well, my brother. Thank you.
All right, boys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. There's Dave Pasch joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.
Bill Bajadle.
The play-by-play voice of the Cardinals. The voice of Pac-12 basketball with Bill Walton on ESPN. And the NBA number two play-by-play voice in the entire country that they have.
So talented.
Coming up next, where does the NFC West rank in one important, most important position in all of sports? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.